Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Podcast Network Asia.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
Welcome to the big time.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
You know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
Hey everyone, this is Jeff Cobb.
I have to finish the story.
We are pretty deadly. Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
Hello, my name is Ilya Dragunov, the Czar.
Bang! The sniper is shooting you down. This is TMDK's Robbie Eagles, and you are listening to the Wrestling Podcast.
Watching and listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C, Romaran, Emil ASH checking in on another Thursday live stream. Happy Pride, everyone. It's June 1 as we are live streaming and recording this episode. We've got a lot to talk about, so I don't think I even need to bring in the Cody Rhodes stinger here. But first things first, Emil, I'm glad may kuryente na dyan in your neck of the woods, finally.
Yes. Again, yung power interruption the whole day, it's pretty normal here in the province. So, sanay na ako. Pero it's been a while since naka-experience ako ng ganito because I've been in Manila for most of this year. So, nakainis. Pero good thing the power is back.
I'm sure. And of course, I'd be remiss if I did not say happy birthday, Ro.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
All right. Yeah. It's been another day. It's a Thursday, so I had to work. But thank you, everyone. It's really nice to have another trip around this time.
And I think that's also why he decided to announce his huge announcement on his on his birthday.
So plug section. Thank you, everyone. In the chat.
We'll save that for the plugs at the end. All right. Like I said, we've got a lot to get to. We had a triple stacked pay-per-view weekend between Battleground, Double or Nothing, Night of Champions, and all of the news that just came our way. So pag-uusapan natin yung lahat. But first, let's get some plugs, starting off with our growing wrestling podcast patron community, which you can always be a part of.
All right, so if you want to get the full Wrestling podcast experience, all you have to do is join in our Patreon by subscribing to www.com/Patreon.
What's happening? You're falling apart.
You can do that by subscribing to our Patreon at patreon.com/wrestling podcast. Where you could subscribe for as low as $5 or in a local currency, it's around 275 or 280 pesos. Pero tumas, taas. Perks of joining our Discord, joining our Patreon, of course, our Discord, where you can interact with your fellow podcast. You can talk to us about anything, about wrestling, but also among other things as well, sports, music, fashion, memes, everything and anything under the sun. And of course, we also have the Pasabais. And if you want to get your authentic wrestling merch, WWE, AEW, or any other wrestling merch, you can get it through us as well. And also the review content of the weekly wrestling shows like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, and soon Collision. Also some local wrestling events as well, courtesy of Rowan ASH. And by subscribing to our Patreon, you're supporting everything that we do here on the pod. So again, please subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast for as low That's $5. I choked on that one earlier. I apologize. It will never happen again.
Julian says you choked like the Lakers. I think you choked more like the Celtics.
Nilalain mo si Celtics yan. The Celtics katuloy.
Yeah. Wait, before anything, I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who showed up to both our viewing parties. Oh. Of course, one was on Saturday night or slash early Sunday morning for Night of Champions. I know none of you in the chat went, but we still did have a really nice turnout at Hobby Stadium last Sunday for Night of Champions. So even though the show started at 1 a.m., we all went home at 4 a.m. You guys, or they rather, had a nice time. People were up, you know, energetic still, still cheering for example, for this moment that's on Emil's background when the Usos super kicked their cousin. And yun, I was so amazed, and people were still pretty hyped when that happened. So yun yung pampagising namin ng 4 a.m. So thanks again to Hobby Stadium for having us, even though the hour was ungodly. Hobby Stadium really enjoyed having us over Tayong Wrestler Wrestling Podcast and yung mga friends natin from Geek Talk PH. Shout outs to Legend Dennis, Galactic Shark, and Hans for holding down the fort and, you know, making this happen. I think Hobby Stadium as well likes working with us, so I'm sure we will not be, you know, it will not be the last time we will be there. So I hope that you guys can come, because the space is big. But even though we were able to pack it and make it look pretty full, there is still a lot of space that could be filled. So no, definitely, probably not Money in the Bank, because that starts at, you know, the butt crack
4 a.m.
Yeah.
4 a.m. Manila time.
So maybe SummerSlam. We still don't know which venue we will be doing that in. Skinny Mike's also loves us a lot. So depending on the card of that show, we'll see. We'll see in a while. But Hobby Stadium is fun too. So thank you, Sir Andrew, I believe, for having us over. And then also thank you to everyone who's, you know, tuned in on a Monday morning on Discord for the Double or Nothing watch party. Even though the show wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, we still had fun talking shit, you know, making fun of the crowd, the Las Vegas crowd, and, you know, we're having
blackface mask guy.
in the arena. So that was a lot of fun, and goes to show in the meron pa rin tayong market for, you know, our Discord watch parties, because remember that we can't all troop down to Skinny Mike's on a Monday morning when we have work. Right? So
yeah.
Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you at the next watch party.
Let's say happy birthday to Awi in the comments, who shares his birthday
happy
with
birthday. Happy birthday, Awi.
Hope you're having a good one.
Happy birthday, yeah.
All right, let's get to business here. And let's start with a slide that Babyface producer Jasper accidentally spoiled, because
it is official.
CM Punk is coming back. He's going to be front and center for AEW Saturday Night Collision on Saturday, June 17th. All right, fellas, are you excited for this?
No, people, you know, pro CM Punk fans were touting this as a win, as though hindi nanganganib yung participation ng idol nila. I'm pretty sure this was, you know, put together at the very last minute. Not even last minute, kasi June 17th pa, but, you know, probably over the weekend. And I'm pretty sure that there was a bigger chance of it not happening. And so they probably just compromised. So I hope Phil himself compromised by, you know, letting go of the whole Ace Steel thing. We don't need Ace Steel around backstage biting people's ears. So CM Punk, oh, syempre, he's going to bring in the fans who love him. But I don't think AEW was really missing anything while he wasn't around. Like I was saying on Discord, the bigger problem here was that, or the bigger issue with AEW was that Tony Khan did a lot more damage over the past half year since Punk was gone, with this weird trying hard writing and booking than Punk being gone. So I don't think this means Punk is going to be the savior of AEW. His mic work is going to probably elevate the show, but if the stories are not as good as we want them to be, then what's Punk going to matter to this product, especially if he's not committed to changing his ways and stop being toxic, di ba?
Ikaw, Emil, excited ka ba dito? You're a younger fan, so medyo iba yung perspective mo eh.
Honestly, even though I'm a Punk fan, no, kasi matagal na natin itong alam na he's gonna be the main man of Collision. And again, I just hope na he doesn't cause so much trouble again like he did the first time, because AEW has done everything in its power to get this guy back. So they literally bent their backs for him. And I think he will legitimize the Collision show. Because he's like, the show is going to revolve around him. And definitely there's going to be a brand split, because there are people who doesn't want to work with Punk, and also there are people who wants to work with Punk. So this move, I think, makes everyone happy, even though I think there's still some red flags. Obviously, TK wants this. Warner Brothers definitely want this. I mean, they literally said they want CM Punk on this show. So, yun lang. I'm not excited for it, but in the grand scheme of things, if it works, then it works.
Ito, si Ninong Derv na mahilig pumusta wants to know, over under, how many months until someone complains about toxic behavior?
I don't think it's going to take long. Because he's usually toxic when he's hurt. Like, he's going to complain grumpy when he's really hurt bad. So, I don't think he is like at the peak of his health anymore. I think he's going to get injured sooner or later, whether through his own fault or not. So when that happens, you can expect him to be a grump again. But at this point, if I were Tony Khan, I would get a handle on this guy. Like, either you stop bringing him out to the media scrums, or you shut him up when it's time to shut him up, and not just sit there and let him go like some kind of dork that's powerless to stop his dog.
Yeah, he's the boss. So, pero minsan kasi parang siya, he's more of a Punk fanboy than an actual boss when he's around him.
Yes, precisely.
I mean, you know, we all can't be Jan. Sometimes some of us are just Michael Scott, diba? So that's clearly what we saw. At some point.
Yeah. Right, moving on. No, real quick. Admin Jackie's right. They do have the PR guy from WWE. So I would hope that Punk has a relationship with this guy. I forgot who was his name is. But sana naman, diba? Since he is a really big figure in the wrestling industry, he can get a hold of this guy, who is pretty sure by all counts is a PR liability.
Yeah, there's also a reason why we keep saying on the pod for years and years now. Now, media training is important in this industry.
Yes, sir. Even Carlo Cannon knows that.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Carlo Cannon, we just had him on the podcast kaninang hapon. We recorded that. So that episode should be out sometime early next week. Just want to put it out there because we're really excited to share. Now, we got to hang out with Kuya Carlo Cannon.
And we might get to hang out with more people, too.
Yes. Let's put that out there in the universe, like the great manifester Roman ASH. More news outside the ring. We found out this week that Alexa Bliss is pregnant. So congratulations to her and to Ryan Cabrera na hindi kilala ni Emil. Pero tayong mga matatanda, kilala natin siya.
I just want to ask, who in the chat still knows Ryan Cabrera?
You underestimate na mas mga kaedara naman natin yung mga listeners natin.
Kasi, you know, I'm sure Lance doesn't know who Ryan Cabrera is because he lives under a rock, diba? So I am wondering, who else knows Ryan Cabrera?
Ayan, sabi ni Admin Jackie, kilala ba siya ni Rowan? That is the question.
Yeah, that's
the Rowan is Team 2001, that's right.
Yeah. He was a literal baby when nung sumikat si Ryan Cabrera.
Yeah. So this one kind of caught us by surprise, because last we heard Alexa Bliss was training to get back in the ring, right? Coming off of that tag team championship run alongside Asuka. And then after the announcement, now people on Twitter have been reviving that joke. Now whoever Asuka works with ends up getting pregnant. And not that it's a bad thing, but there is a record. Now, you know, if you end up feuding or tagging with Asuka, chances are you're bound to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Coincidence lang yun, I think. Di naman yung sadya, I think.
I'm sure. It's not like kinukulam ni Asuka yung mga tao na mabubuntis ka or whatever. Again, not that it's a bad thing, right? So yeah, maybe, congratulations to Alexa and Ryan.
Maybe she is actually like a goddess of fertility. Who knows, diba? If you... I guess if anyone in the WWE roster is trying to get pregnant, just go team with Asuka.
Again, we're not laughing at the pregnancy news or anything. We just think that it's a wild coincidence. No,
Congrats. It is a funny coincidence, yes. Actually. So
yeah. Yeah. If you guys have read the interview ni Alexa Bliss on The Messenger, she actually says na they weren't even planning to have a baby. So it something they intended to do. So she was really training to get back in the ring.
It wasn't even an interview. So the post on oops, it was an best accident ever. So
no, she went into detail in that article.
Yeah. Oh, so okay. I guess wear your condoms. I don't know.
I don't think there's a moral to this story, to be honest.
No, because
it's good news. It's just good news.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying she wasn't planning it, and she was still focused on being in the ring. So I guess that's what happens when you go Raw. Literal Monday Night Raw.
Glendale, to answer your question, there's Carmella, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans. I remember parang lima yun based on this tweet that I saw that was making the rounds. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the wrestling talk. We'll break down Night of Champions and Double or Nothing, and then we'll zoom out and talk about which PLE or pay-per-view we like the best. But first, a quick word from our other podcasts right here on Podcast Network Asia. All right, I just back read the chat and thank you guys for reminding us how old we've gotten. Kasi mas maraming hindi nakakakilala apparently kay Ryan Cabrera.
I told you. That's why I asked it. Kasi you can't, you know, you overestimate how young our crowd is.
Thanks, guys. Yan na, nag-maintenance meds na po kami. Thanks, fuckers. All right, let's talk about Night of Champions. And let's start with the cinema that unfolded in front of us at the end of the event. So, napuruhan na si Jimmy Uso, nag-sprak siya, and now Jey Uso has no idea what the fuck he's gonna do. So, was this a predictable turn for you guys? Did you think this was gonna happen at Night of Champions, like this soon after sina Sami tumiwalag din from the Bloodline?
A lot of people predicted the actual turn happening here, so Night of Champions, but I didn't think it was gonna happen right away. I knew that, you know, Roman would do something to them and then, you know, the decline would start, but I didn't think that they would get to this point so soon. It was good though. Even though it was predictable, Shempre, you think you want unpredictability, but that's not really what people want. People want to satisfy the part of their brain that says this story is going this way. So if you don't go this way, like exact example, the Cody Rhodes thing, about the story didn't go the way they wanted it to. That's why people were melting down over the result. About I've seen literal meltdowns on Twitter because Cody lost. So the fact that you did this, the fact that you did this now is good. It's good storytelling because everything that happened leading up to it made sense. Like, you know, Roman was a victim of his own hubris, trying to you know, undermine the Usos and freezing them out. And, you know, siempre, Newton's law, every reaction deserves an opposite reaction. Right? So this finally happened and it was pretty satisfying. Like I said, kanina, it woke up the sleepy 4 a.m. crowd at Hobby Stadium.
Ikaw, Emil, did you scream at like 4 a.m. like Glendale here?
Yes, I did. Kasi before that, honestly, napipikit-pikit na ako. Because again, it's 4 a.m. I've been awake for hours before that. So I screamed at it. I screamed when it happened. Kasi same with a lot of people. I thought the turn was going to happen in the future, pa, but they're going to establish something here that will make the Usos turn on Roman. Pero hindi pa at Night of Champions. But it happened here, and it was fine. It was okay. Medyo biglaan lang for me that it was Jimmy. Kasi up until a couple of weeks ago, we didn't really see Jimmy as the Uso to turn on Roman. We all thought it's going to be Jey. And kasi all this time, he has been the Uso who is not affected by the drama. And he has stuck by Roman all this time. Like when the Royal Rumble thing happened, when Sami turned on him, it was Jimmy who, you know, siya agad yung umespondi kay Roman. And all this time, even though Jay's conflicted, Jimmy's the one who is loyal to the Bloodline. But so it kind of came a surprise that he was the one to do it. But I guess the progression of the story also makes sense. Now it has to be Jey who's the last one to crack.
Yeah, why do you say that, Emil?
Because it also began with him. Because siya yung ano, like all it all began with Jay, parang yun na yun, parang Roman has abused him so much that he fell in line. So, and then he see like the others, so parang he sacrificed himself for his brothers. Tapos, tapos si Jimmy, konting inconvenience lang, he turned on Roman just like that. So, so yun lang, yun may element lang ng biglaan for me. Pero for me, it makes sense that he's gonna be the one who's gonna last to crack the entire bloodline. Si Jay talaga dapat.
Ikaw, Road, did you have any issue with Jimmy turning first?
Yeah, I did, because even though Aaron says that, you know, Jimmy was the one getting pissed off this entire time, remember that it was always Jay who was torn up about his allegiance to Roman Reigns and how Roman was treating them. He started it, but he was the first inductee of the bloodline after an abusive couple of months. But Jay, let's not pretend that Jay didn't go through this doubting phase. I also found it surprising that it was Jimmy, because Jimmy was always the guy to have Roman's back when Jay was questioning his loyalty and allegiance, diba? So I found it weird that suddenly Jay gets pissed off. I think they can still explain this by, you know, having Jimmy say he was there for Roman, he stopped Jay from turning on him until now, diba? And then that's how Roman repays him. If they go that route, then sige, I can let this slide. But it should have been Jay, because Jay was the one Sammy and Kevin were playing to, because they knew that he was feeling it. He was just denying it. Right? So that's why I thought he would be easier to crack here. I do think that he should have been the one to think about it. Right? So yeah, I just gave Triple H and out. So let's hope he takes it.
Ito, question for you guys. Kasi ang sinasabi-sabi sa internet ngayon is that Roman is booked for Money in the Bank and for SummerSlam. So that's a good 2 or 3 months worth of story that WWE can tell here. Does Roman need a challenger for the Undisputed Championship, or okay na Roman and Solo go against the Usos here?
I think what I already tweeted something about this. It should, at Money in the Bank, it should be Jimmy challenging Roman for the heavyweight, for the Undisputed title. And then, after Jay finally cracked, then it's gonna come down to a tag team match between Roman and Solo versus the Usos. Kasi ngayon, conflicted pa si Jay at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think their feud needs the championship. I would find it much better without, kasi parang okay, it's like the Bray Wyatt thing that you don't need a championship for Bray Wyatt, and here you don't need a championship for family matters, for a family issue. So although the other thing is Roman does need to defend that thing, he did come up on 1,000 days without having to defend the championship since WrestleMania, diba? So that's, people are seeing through that, and eventually you do have to. So I wouldn't be surprised if both matches against both Usos were for the title. It will not be, you know, a change of hands, but it will at least be, you know, a championship defense that is much needed.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. Either way, actually. But I'm kind of leaning towards a championship defense being necessary, only because they're so rare na nga. Tapos magkaka-PLE, tapos hindi pa natin makukuha. So parang doon ako medyo nakukulangan or masasayangan kung walang opportunity for a championship defense, even if it's against Jimmy or Jay because of the family dispute. So it should be an interesting next few weeks, starting with SmackDown happening this weekend as Roman celebrates 1,000 days. Speaking of championships, let's talk about the other one, the new World Heavyweight Championship, which Seth Rollins got at Night of Champions. This one opened the show, and ang sabi-sabi sa internet, it was because Seth had to immediately fly out of Jeddah to get to the set of Captain America New World Order. That being said, did you think that this match should have closed Night of Champions, given that it was a new world title that they were establishing and that Seth was going to be the inaugural champion?
No. I don't think it should have closed. It's the whole main event thing, the main event thing that Punk was arguing about like 10 years ago. That's the truth is Roman is the big star, and Roman's story will always have to end the show. what I did need for this match was a much longer runtime. Like, let's go fucking New Japan main event levels of long for this. Give me all the false finishes, the falsies, the drama. The both of them going so long that they are fucking tired, like Okada and Omega are. So I didn't get that because it felt like a relatively quick world championship match for me. It wasn't even, a one-night tournament. So that doesn't make sense. So I know that they can pull out a big dramatic match, and I think they stopped short of that. That's what I was looking for, to really make the image of the new World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, same sentiments from me as well. It was okay that this didn't close out the show, because you had the bigger story with Roman and the Usos, so that okay lang yan, that main evented. Pero also same thoughts nabitin ako with the opening match, even though if you're not main eventing, you should be opening. And it was the right place on the card for that match. Pero I think because mamadali din sila and Seth was had something to do after, na they cut the match a little bit shorter than it would be kung normal lang na hindi siya alis agad after the match. So
yeah. How would you rate Seth Rollins' first week or half week as World Heavyweight Champion?
Pretty good. I enjoyed the main event match a lot more. Main event on Raw a lot more than the Saudi match. It was just a lot better if you have an actual push and pull between faces and heels. And he really established himself as a top star that people want to see. So great choice. Again, predictable, but you need the predictability, because the predictability tells you where people want to go. And they nailed it. Seth was ready for this. He was born for this. He is him. And I don't think anyone else could have carried the mantle of Raw the way he does right now.
Yep. For me, out of five, give it a 4. He presented himself well on Raw, and we had a great match on the main events. And it's only really appropriate that he is the first champion to set the tone. This is a major title. This is not just a consolation prize. This is a championship that the top people in the company are going to fight for. So it was a good first week for Seth.
Yeah. All right. Who do you want to be his first challenger?
Finn or Damian?
Finn.
Both of them. Either of them.
It has to be Finn. Obviously, they're pushing Judgment Day to the top of the card. Because one thing, pala, the separation or the creation of a new world championship really elevates the rest of the guys on the roster, on the brand. Because when you had just one championship for the entire for the both rosters, you could only really have one or two top guys. So now here on Raw, I can feel for real that the Judgment Day, Damian and Finn feel like top guys. They can legitimately challenge Seth Rollins in a pay-per-view match for the championship. So that was pretty cool to me. And I do think they were making that argument as well. Now Finn has to be it, or Damian has to be it.
Yeah, that seems to line up dinaman with what we've been seeing on the internet, some rumors that are floating around as well. Na WWE is really high on Damian Priest, especially after his work with Bad Bunny nung Backlash, and then syempre Finn being the anchor, being the veteran presence on the Judgment Day. So, a lot of good things hopefully in store for the Judgment Day guys heading into Seth's first feud for the World Heavyweight Championship. Let's move on to Cody Rhodes here, who decided to pull an Edge from 2004 during his match with Brock Lesnar and use this cast as a weapon finally when he realized na legal naman pala. But coming out of Night of Champions, how does Cody Rhodes look after everything he'd gone through?
So yeah, you go first, Emil. I have feelings about this.
Honestly, okay lang naman eh. For me lang talaga, parang pilit yung yung finish na he just passed out instead of tapping out, because he has a broken arm and Brock puts his submission on him. Any parang normal lang na dapat mag tap out, and it's okay if he would have tapped out. Pero they went with the Super Cena route when he didn't tap and just fell asleep you know. So it was fine. It was fine for me. The finish was fine. But I'm not really like super satisfied with it.
Yeah. Okay. So this is fucking stupid. Like, it is fucking stupid. Like, I am supporting the whole Cody Rhodes rehabilitation thing, the rehabilitation arc, the hero's journey from his loss to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. But this fucking takes the cake. Diana, how do people think this is realistic? You know, you have a broken arm. People were advising you to not compete on the show. Triple H doesn't cancel the match thanks to a legit broken arm. And I don't give a shit if your precedent was was Cody competing with a broken pec, with a torn pec. That's the broken arm is much, much worse than that. And you are a terrible businessman who risks the well-being of his wrestlers by allowing a guy with a broken arm, quote unquote, to compete on a show with a man who can legit kill you, diba? So yung palang sobrang weird na. And then the broken arm itself. So I speak from experience when I say I was close to someone with a broken arm, and that the whole thing of powering through the pain of a broken arm and allowing another guy to crank it further and break it further, you know, break it more than it could ever be broken at this point, is so fucking stupid. Like, how realistic is that? Do people actually believe this shit? Nah, he powered through a broken arm? Like, and remember the thing he said on Monday, Brock Lesnar wasn't man enough to make him tap out. Yeah, that's the thing. Now Brock Lesnar looks like a total jackass for not being able to tap a guy out with a broken arm. So, Talena, everyone loses in this whole thing. Cody looks fucking stupid because he chooses valor over, you know, over wisdom. Brock looks fucking stupid because he couldn't finish the job and had to live with the satisfaction of having the guy pass out after 3 minutes of being cranked up. So that tells me that he wasn't cranking hard enough. So this guy who is a literal monster couldn't break this guy's arm any further to get him to tap out. The referee looks stupid by not calling the match where any other combat sport would call it a TKO already once you get that arm in a submission hold. Right? Triple H looks stupid by allowing the match to continue and making Brock look weak. So, God, what a shit show. And I'm not trying to trash Cody Rhodes here or Brock Lesnar. It's just a terrible shit show of a booking decision all around. I would have preferred the story being Cody dodging Brock, finding a way to weasel out of the Kimura, the double wrist lock. Because once you lock that thing in, you're supposed to tap out instantly. And it just wasn't realistic to me. And I hate it. I hate every bit of it. And I hate it even more because this is Cody trying to make himself look superhuman and even better. Because he wants to be the guy. He wants to be him. But in the process of doing so, he is being ridiculous about it. I think this is far worse than any Super Cena shtick Cena pulled in the late 2000s and early 2010s.
Yep. I just want to add to this. I had a broken arm, pala, 10 years ago.
Yun, yun mo pala, yun.
And how did it feel, Emil? Let the people know. Yeah.
If I put you in a Kimura, would you tap out?
Immediately. Yeah, exactly.
Kasi nga, I don't give a shit if you were like 240 pounds.
Hindi pa ako gumagalaw. Hindi ko ginagalaw, pero sobrang sakit niya. Na, just at the resting point, it hurts so badly. So just imagine, gagalaw ko sa submission, kasi hindi ka magta-tap out. Yun lang. Yun yung problema ko dun eh. Kasi they went with... I know they're going for the Super Cena route here where they're trying to make him look strong. You know? I understand that they went through that. Pero for me, hindi ako nasatisfied dun sa result na yun.
Si Bruce nag-rant about a broken heart. Ibang usapan yan, Bruce.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, wala tayong magagawa dyan dito.
Yeah, kasabi mo si Brooks Jensen. man, I don't know. It's such a bad look by creative. Mostly because anyone with any injury experience can call that bullshit out easily, diba? Like, there is a way to rehab Cody. It didn't have to involve getting a kayfabe injury that would, you know, cripple you if it happened in real life, diba? So why should this be any different? Kasi, yun nga, it's easily callable bullshit. So, God, now I he just looks worse to me, diba? This whole thing looks worse. Parang the thing about wrestling is we're already up in arms whenever somebody calls it fake and judges us for watching something that's fake. Now this is the worst example of that. Now this is the fakest of fakery that is easily detectable, and we should all, and whoever enjoys this should feel bad about themselves because they supported a total bullshit creative decision.
That's the Codyverse for you.
Derv is even right. Yes, on his birthday.
Derv is right. They were injuring the wrong part of the arm because the Kimura is a wrist lock, and then it also tries to wrench your shoulder. So nothing about that was about the forearm. So right. Yung pa.
Lots of feelings. Lots of feelings there. A vintage Romoran rant or Roma rant. All right, let's move on here. One more bit from Night of Champions. Let's talk about Zoe Stark, who has emerged as Trish Stratus's protege. So she's now the one really beating the drum of thank you, Trish. Do you guys like this choice creatively?
Yes, for me, definitely. Very, very like this move. Because for me, she fits so well alongside Trish. When I saw them side by side, they just click. And for me, it also makes Zoe Stark a bigger deal just by aligning herself with Trish and being slotted in a major storyline. Kaka-debut niya pa lang sa Raw, and immediately she's in a major storyline alongside someone who's a Hall of Famer. So that's a big stamp of approval for Zoe Stark.
You got Rhea coming out of Rhea.
Yeah, I agree. This, working with Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus already tells you how management views you. And I agree with this because Zoe Stark is one of the better or one of the best female wrestlers that have come along in the developmental system in a long, long time. I would say even that she is better put together than Roxanne Perez. Roxanne Perez is a kid prodigy, but Zoe Stark is the more complete female wrestler. So I like that they are rocket strapping her. I think deserve. I believe she is not that young, so I think she deserves to be pushed right away as well. And I think she will lend an air of legitimacy to the division the way Asuka, Bianca, and Io have.
Yeah, I think Zoe Stark is right around our age, early 30s, or late 20s. So, just about to hit her prime. Good for her. Really happy to see her in this spot. I said no pick of the week episode na she's got a chance to be the new Mickey James here, minus the lesbian undertones of that Trish and Mickey storyline from 2006. All right, that's it for Night of Champions for us. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Double or Nothing.
Really quick. I don't know if you guys listened to the Picks of the Week episode, but for those who haven't, I would just reiterate it here now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have come a long, long way from Trish having Tyson Tomko as a heater, and now she has a woman like Zoe Stark as the muscle for her. So that's pretty cool, and that is how far women's wrestling has come. I know China was there, but you know, China was also built different. So you know, it's not quite the same, but this is still pretty cool.
Yeah, amen. 100% agree. Let's take that break. Double or Nothing reactions on the other side after a quick word from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia. Before we get to Double or Nothing reactions, let's say hi to Ninang Abby, who's joining us on the live stream for the first time in quite a while.
Yo. Oh.
What's up, Abby?
Ninang Abby, hello. Pahingin pagkain.
I'm going to let that pass because it's Rose's birthday today. Right.
I mean she literally would send us food. Ask for food and she would send it.
That is exactly why she is Ninang Abby. Right. Let's talk about Double or Nothing, AEW's flagship show, flagship pay-per-view, biggest show of the year, and the biggest debate coming out of that is what should have closed the show. So, should it have been Anarchy in the Arena, which we got, or should it have been the World Championship match? What do you guys think?
I think I already said this during the Pick of the Week episode, because this was my Pick of the Week, the Anarchy in Arena match. It was only right that this main event did Double or Nothing, because the Anarchy in Arena match is the signature match of this pay-per-view. It's kind of like Money in the Bank match for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Plus, this match, as far as I know, the Anarchy in Arena / Stadium Stampede has closed out 3 of the last 4 Double or Nothings. So this has been a tradition at this point. Plus, they have the biggest stars in the company in this match. They had Kenny, Moxley, Danielson, Hangman, the Young Bucks. So they were in this match. So I think it was only right that this was the main event. Plus, we had that plot twist at the end with Takeshita turning heel. So okay lang yan. Now this main event did the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun. It's a whole bunch of fun through the arena. As I said then nung picks of the week, given the finish of the Four Pillars four-way, I don't think that should have closed the show. Like, alam mo yun, that's just going to piss the crowd off and send them home pissed off. So you want to end it with a bang. You want to end it with something that was straight up fun. So I think this was a top choice, a good choice to, you know, send the fans home happy.
So ako, yung take ko on this one is that it should have always been the World Championship, just because it's the World Championship. And it's a very old school argument, but it is what it is, diba? And I understand that you've got the bigger stars there in the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club. It's just that it's the world title and it kind of doesn't really do the Four Pillars a service. Nah, you're supposed to be elevating them. You're supposed to be propping them up to be on the same level, supposedly, as your Elite, as your BCC. But instead, they're in that spot where na justify tuloy yung side headlock takeover na finish. Like, I would probably argue na if they were in the main event spot, it probably would have had a different finish.
I don't think that's necessarily true. The other thing is the build for the Four Pillars match was so that even no matter where you put it, I don't think the other three pillars, quote unquote, would have looked like the main event stars that they were. Parang, well, they're just there. They just happen to have a championship shot against their fellow running buddy MJF, diba? So I would much rather close the show out with the big stars, you know. Once upon a time, I believe the same way you do, but you know, the whole business, the whole industry of not just pro wrestling but also combat sports itself, there will always be bigger stars than who is supposed to be the big star on paper. So in combat sports and in sports in general, there will always be bigger stars than who you think or who is supposed to be the big star on paper. That's why the fucking Nuggets are getting shit for being in the finals, diba? Kasi they're not the big stars, you know, the same way the Lakers and LeBron are, diba? So even though, yes, the championship should be on top, especially in a worked show busy sport like pro wrestling, you do have to put the big stars on the biggest spot.
I don't know, naalala ko lang yung argument ni Punk dati. One of the reasons why he was so upset, diba, was because he was WWE champion for over a year and then he could barely close a show. Like, I don't think he ever really main evented a show as WWE champion until he had to drop the title to The Rock at the 2013 Royal Rumble. And even then, I could be wrong. I'm not sure I remember correctly kung sino yung nag-main event ng pay-per-view na yun. So,
Yeah, sila.
Yun. So he didn't close the show until he literally had to drop the title to The Rock, diba? So it's one of the few things I agree with CM Punk on. It really should be the world championship because in theory, that's the spot that everybody's fighting for. So if yung nangyari is you still prioritize the bigger stars, edi it becomes more of a matter of star power as opposed to fighting to be the champion, to be the guy, diba? And you know, there's the other argument that it didn't do any favors for the four pillars, which we're about to get to here. Like, did you guys feel that they were elevated in the process of being in the semi-main event spot?
No, I still thought they were just like, okay, young kids who had a championship match because they earned it, yes, but they didn't feel like main eventers to me. And that's not their fault, though. I felt like Tony Khan did a bad job. He tried. He tried. He gave it his best effort, but I still thought it wasn't enough to really establish them as, you know, the big main eventers and contenders that they wanted them to be.
Yeah, I still see them as the rising stars, not necessarily the all-stars. This, like, in the all-star weekend, they are like the rising stars challenge, and then the Anarchy in Arena is like the all-star game. The big stars are there, but here you get to see the future of wrestling, see the rising young stars of the company really having a showcase of their talent, just going out there. And this was a really fast-paced match. All of them got their stuff in. So, but at the end of the day, they're still like the rising stars of AEW.
I agree. It was fun too. It was really fun.
Yeah, you guys said na may kulang. Yeah. So other than fixing the build, what could have been improved to, you know, satisfy the need to elevate these guys?
I don't know. I think it was really all in the build. I thought that the whole thing wasn't focused enough the way other MJF stories were. Like, you know, Bryan Danielson was a pretty nice story. And although he was already a main eventer coming in, it was still pretty, you know, it did a good job in establishing how important this story was. And for this one, talagang wala. Maybe if it were a one-on-one match, tapos he went through them like a rogues gallery, I think that would have gone a longer way in establishing all three as bigger than they are now.
Yeah. Also same, kasi ito, ani, four of them shared the spotlight in the build-up to the feud. So, hindi, walang, ano, di sila na-shine isa-isa. Instead, it was, the focus was on the four of them instead of each of them as individuals. He's a pillar of the company. He's a pillar of the company. So, parang, ani, it was a collective feud rather than MJF versus this guy, MJF versus this guy, and MJF versus this guy.
All right. One other thing that we saw coming out of Double or Nothing was a new set of women's champions. So it seems like TK hit the reset button. Toni Storm, now the world women's world champion, and Chris Statlander finally defeating Jade Cargill after she got her 60th win against Taya. And if you watched Dynamite earlier, it looks like Taya's the next challenger agad for Chris Statlander kasi parang may nagbabadyang resentment or jealousy na Chris Statlander swooped in and took the TBS championship.
I'm okay with this because Taya was Taya doesn't seem like she was she is better off as a face. I think her best work and her claim to fame was always being the blonde heel, diba? So I'm okay with this. Stat is my, you know, has long been my pick to be the TBS champion. Glad that they pushed through with it. It was very Vince of TK to do the surprise match thing. I will admit, I think AEW fans are not going to admit this, but that was a straight up Vince playbook move, diba?
Yeah, WrestleMania 9, diba?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's very fun because it gave you the result that you wanted, that we wanted. But let's not pretend that he wasn't stealing from the sports entertainment playbook. So,
but is it a good thing or not? Like the WrestleMania 9 playbook?
I don't know. Because it depends on what you're trying to establish yourself as. Like, but at the very beginning, AEW was very sportsy, you know, not that more in sports and less in entertainment. So I knew that they were conscious, or Tony Khan was consciously avoiding Vince tropes. So I guess it depends on what he's trying to be now. Like, if he admits Vince was, you know, a genius for establishing the big wrestling plays, or at least perpetuating them, then okay, this is not a bad thing. But if he is still trying to distance himself from the traditional creative place, then it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is kind of hypocritical, I would say.
Regarding the title changes, I'm definitely okay with it because the division and the title scene of both the TBS and the Women's Championship has kind of been stale lately. With the world title, we all see that the champion has been sucked into a faction versus faction feud. She doesn't really get to defend the title that much. So because of an unfortunate injury, they had to do a title change, and now Toni Storm is the champion. I just hope she defends the title a little bit more than Jamie Hayter did during her title reign. They badly need a resurgence in that division, and I think this is a good step in the right direction, I guess.
All right, but did you guys think that the reset button as a whole, that was a good move on TK's part as a promoter?
Yes,
for me, yes. Absolutely. And it was necessary because Jamie Hayter is injured. So, I will say though that had she not been injured, he would have powered through and tried to do better by her. But the injury really necessitated the reset button.
At the very least, it opens the door for Jamie Hayter to come back, hopefully by September, but for the Wembley show, for her and Toni Storm to tear it up for the Women's Championship once again. Yeah. Zooming out here, Memorial Day weekend in the States, medyo meh dito sa atin sa Pinas because, you know, hindi naman tayo kano. But which of the Memorial Weekend pay-per-views or PLEs was the best for you?
Go, Emil.
Honestly, wrestling-wise, it's the one PLE we didn't really talk about. It's NXT Battleground for me because it was a really packed wrestling show from top to bottom. And I feel like for me, it had the best crowd out of all the three shows. And you can see from the performance that they're really willing to go to limits, just like it was during the Black and Gold era. And I really like that they're trying to go back to what NXT made successful before. So, which is really something nice to see. And
NXT pa rin. I'm actually pretty sad that we couldn't have a legit way to watch the show, and therefore I couldn't give you a reliable way to stream it. Because had I known that Double or Nothing would fall kind of flat because of the Vegas crowd, and that Boston would really make Battleground bigger than it was, I would have, you know, given you a Battleground watch party instead. So Battleground is great. It was a return to form. You would think that Triple H was booking NXT again, but I think we are back to the age of NXT where the veteran talent is carrying the show, and it's not just the new guys anymore. Actually, there were I think half of the show was like new guys only, and
the other half was NXT UK.
Yeah. The other half was NXT UK and veterans as well. Let's not forget that Melo is actually an indie guy. So
yeah,
pretty fun. If you still haven't given NXT a shot this year, I think now is the best time for that.
Yeah, this is a good starting point to get back into NXT. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, if you check out yung Patreon review ni Ro of Battleground, he actually lists the match in his preferred order of watchability. I don't necessarily share the same opinion in terms of his rankings, but I'd like to point out that there were some really good bangers in there. Braun Mello was a banger. First Braun match I've gotten excited about in a while. Dijak and Dragunov, they really just murdered each other out there. So kung gusto niyo makita makapanood ng patayan, yun na yun, di ba?
Yung rankings na yun, they weren't like, you know, best to worst. It's really just if you need to watch something first, like si Miggy from our Discord, diba? He was asking which he should watch first, diba? So I thought of that, and then I listed it that way. But the thing here is all of the matches are worth watching. I haven't said that about a pay-per-view or a PLE in a long, long time.
Yeah, great show. Congrats to Tiffany Stratton, the new NXT Women's Champion. I believe yun lang yung title na nag-change hands, diba? At Battleground.
Yes, that was the only one.
Yeah, so really good showing from her. And there's a Battle Royal next week where they'll find out who's going to be her next challenger. I'm hoping it's Lyra Valkyrie again, just because I don't think they're done. And I'm really high on Lyra here. So I'm hoping that she wins next week on NXT. Anything else from NXT you guys want to talk about? Because if not, I want to talk about Raw and then Shayna being women's tag champions.
I'm good with NXT.
Yeah. So again, let's talk about that, because this week we also crowned new women's tag team champions in Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Kind of overdue, but them's the breaks, because Liv and Raquel were hot, then Liv got injured. So this kind of opened the door for the four-way, which nung nakita natin si Ronda and Shayna there, I don't think there was any other acceptable result.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week on the stream. People were saying that the championships are cursed because, you know, so many bad shit has happened to the champions over its, what, four-year history so far. It's funny. I talk about this on my Raw review earlier today in the Major Late. It's funny that Ronda Rousey, this big crossover star, is now a mid-card act in the WWE. You know, it's crazy that way. And it's kind of sad as well that people still don't give her the credit she deserves for, you know, successfully transitioning to the pro wrestling life and the pro wrestling style and the work. I think this is the best spot for her because she works with a more successful and a better MMA fighter turned wrestler in Shayna Baszler. So I think that with Shayna, she's only going to get better. And this is the right spot because the WWE universe doesn't really consider her as a bigger star than she really should be, and that's fine. I think sometimes it's a lot easier to blend in the mid card and not be conspicuous. So I think eventually this is going to rehab Ronda's image and going to make the women's tag team champions look good. For all its checkered past.
Yep. You sabi mo kanina, Ro, na Ronda na sa mid-card. Honestly, naalala ko si Ken Shamrock. Also, someone who's kind of a big crossover star but really thrived in the mid-card scene when he was in the old WWE. When it comes to Ronda and Shayna, again, long overdue na, they win the tag team titles. Plus, I think it can bring some legitimacy in the women's tag team division that they sorely, sorely need. Having someone like Ronda, who's a star, and let's not pretend that she isn't a big star, but she is, and it would really help the division big time.
Yeah, there really isn't much of a division yet, diba? Because the tag team division's women's side always gets shuffled for whatever reason. But I like having a very dominant heel team like Ronda and Shayna there as the champions. Because it immediately makes it more palatable for like yung babyface teams like the KCs who are about to come up, diba? We saw a vignette from them on Raw. There's always The Way, diba? Candice, who got a vignette herself. And then si Indy, that's a natural pairing already dating back to NXT. So those are two babyface teams. And then even if Sonya and Chelsea were to go after them, clear underdog pa rin sila compared to Ronda and Shayna. So I think it's nice to have this dominant heel women's tag team champions na kind of in the mold of Naya and Shayna. Diba? In a way, it kind of is the same type of team there. So Good move on everybody, and I'm excited to see where they take the Women's Tag Team Championships. As always, we've got some bonus audio-only discussions here, and they're centered around NXT kasi medyo hindi pa sulit yun eh, yung napag-usapan natin earlier with Battleground. We just gave you our broad strokes reactions. So let's get right into it and talk about Ilya Dragunov and Dijak, both of whom just really put on a show during that last man standing match. And now the rumors are saying that they might be getting called up soon. No idea what the plan for Dijak will be, but based on what's on the internet, the plan for Ilya Dragunov is for him to be the fourth member of Imperium.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a while back.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know if I agree with Ilya joining Imperium, because you already have Slenderman and Baldi. so I don't know what role he's going to fill in. I guess he's going to be the Randy Orton of the group. I don't think he needs them to succeed unless the way to get TV time is to roll with the gang, diba? Parang, I think that's also a thing that's happening right now when it comes to wrestling and booking. So if that's the reason, then sige, fine. Roll with the gang and then, you know, get the TV time you want. But he still works as a solo force. So I hope that they eventually give him that chance. Because parang, it doesn't match, it doesn't line up with his whatever his character is, which is the solitary Russian fighter, diba, who is full of cocaine energy.
I wasn't here when y'all talk about Dragunov possibly joining Imperium, so I'll finally get to say this. Pero I feel like Dragunov works better opposing Imperium rather than joining Imperium. Kasi first of all,
so you want European on European action, like European versus European war.
Yeah, because for me, the eternal rivals are Ilya Dragunov and Gunther. Kasi they have gone all the way back nung NXT UK and also in NXT. So mas okay na magkalaban sila rather than them on the same side. So if they want a fourth member for Imperium, just get back Alexander Wolf. Like, you know, just get him back. If they want a fourth member. But for me, the trio of Gunther, Vinci, and Kaiser works just fine for me. So for Dijak,
NXT UK,
I don't know.
History nila dates back to ano pa, WXW, diba? Like way before they
the
joined
Indies,
WWE. So there's really much material to draw from for Gunther and Ilya Dragunov.
Exactly. So for Dijak naman, on the other hand, I want him to be in NXT more kasi kailan ba nagbumaba si Dijak sa NXT? But it isn't even a year.
It was only like a few months ago. I remember.
Yeah, so
it was earlier this year.
Yeah, so for me, he has to do, I think he has to do more in NXT before he goes back to the main roster kasi parang pag tumasya sa main roster, ano gagawin niya ulit doon? Like,
wait, what do you want Dijak to do? Do you want him to be a North American champion?
Yeah,
or
I want him
Cup
at
champion?
Least to be a champion. Yeah,
I think given the given the call ups of Apollo Crews and I think Jinder Mahal, I think the whole thing about sending the main roster guys down to NXT and then calling them back up was to really just refresh their character and their gimmick, and then bring them back up after that, because for some reason, NXT is like the best place to do it. Like, you can't do, Triple H doesn't think you can do that on Raw, which I would guess takes up minutes of the show, diba? Of the airtime, right? So this might have been the thinking behind, you know, putting Dijak down and then bringing him back up eventually, just to get the stink of T-Bar off of him, diba? So if that's the goal, then okay, sure. But I do agree with Emil that he does need to be established more if that's the goal as well. Win a championship, win the North American championship, win the Heritage Cup championship, I don't know, do whatever. It's nice though that he was able to have a good match with the likes of Dragunov, diba? But I think the job is done as well.
All right, so really promising stuff here because, you know, we are fans of Dragunov and of Dijak. So it would be great if Ilya Dragunov finally makes his way to the main roster. That's one more main roster guy on our OBB who says our names and the podcast. Right? So, you know, more power to these guys wherever they end up, as long as they're still on our TV screens with WWE or, you know, whoever is the highest bidder or whatever. So, sticking with NXT here. Let's talk about the inverse of guys getting called up, and that's main roster guys free agenting their way to NXT. And we saw that with first Mustafa Ali, who looks like he's going to feud with Wes Lee for the North American Championship, and Baron Corbin, who now looks to be Carmelo Hayes' next challenger.
I love the moves that they went down to NXT. Kind of like, again, similar to Indian Tobago. We have already seen this over the past year or so. But this is what we were saying nung draft, no? When we were talking about the draft, na, we also want guys going down to NXT rather than just the call-ups. Because NXT has been kind of the rehabilitation place of some of these guys in terms of their gimmicks and their presentations. And Corbin sorely needs a new gimmick, a new character. Because They tried putting JBL on him, and it didn't work. So now it looks like he's gonna do his rehab, character rehab, in NXT, immediately slotting himself into a main event spot there by challenging Melo. Same also with Ali. I mean, we just saw how, you know, his terrific effort during the Night of Champions. So maybe they're continuing this wave of momentum that he already has. But they didn't really want to put him maybe on the spotlight on Raw. So best thing to do for him is to go after the North American Championship, which I wish he will win. Because Westy has been champion for a really long time now.
Yeah, man, so much fun. Ang daming pwede mangyari. I really enjoy how all the possibilities have been unlocked here. I think a year ago we were like, okay, whatever the match is going to be, there's like a 50% chance it might not bang. And I think now whoever you put in front of any given champion, it's gonna be at least a certified banger. Like, there is a better optimism when you approach these things. So I really enjoy everything. Really quickly for Melo, I enjoy him a lot more as a face. I think he was built for this face run. I think he was okay as a heel, but for some reason, this face run is just clicking a lot better for me.
He's so cool. Eh? He's so easy to root for because he's a cool guy. Right? And you said this on the pod months ago, Ro, but Melo and Trick really did their best to bring yung current slang.
Yung urban culture, yeah.
Yes, yeah. The youth culture into NXT TV. So I think it's translating very well for viewers like us. But, you know, just to go back to what you said earlier about things being really fun right now, I think that's a testament to WWE maximizing its depth chart and really optimizing this depth chart. So it's good that we are actually reaping the benefits of this loaded roster across all three brands.
Yeah, agree. The free agent thing, but I'm sorry, I totally forgot this point. The free agent thing, I didn't know what it was nung draft, but
I don't
now
think
that
anyone did.
Yeah. Now that we know it means you can show up on NXT, I like it even more. This is actual free agenting. That's actually what it means, and I don't think Vince knew that. So I like that the actual sports definition of it is being used here. Shempre, NXT always needs the star power, and it's a great way. The relegation, as I've always mentioned, was a great way to infuse that the developmental brand with star power that isn't necessarily being used on the main roster. So Baron Corbin doing this, it's great. I don't know if it's going to change his life, but it certainly will have a good match up for NXT and Ali as well. So more of this, please. And I don't care that you're breaking the draft's rules. You know, you're breaking the exclusivity rules. I think this is all of that done right, done way better than Vince would do it with the wild card thing.
I would laugh if your inspiration for the free agency thing is Matt Cardona. Kasi parang sa kanya nag-blow up talaga eh, di ba?
Yes. And ano, parang siyang ano, like the sports thing, that's really accurate because di ba uso yung ano, yung pag free agent ka, lalaro ka sa China or sa Europe, ganun. And basically same thing here. You're free agent, so you have all the freedom to come down to NXT and do your thing, which makes a whole lot of sense if you think about it.
Yeah, di ba? So now, you know, just days after Night of Champions, Mustafa Ali is now on NXT. So
yeah.
It's a lot of fun for everybody involved. All right, that's our bonus audio-only discussion for you. As always, if you want to chime in, you know where to find us on TikTok and on Twitter. It is at Wrestling2XPod. Right, that's going to do it for the wrestling talk here. But it's also the part that Ro has been hyping for weeks and weeks on end. So I think we should give way first to the birthday boy so he can make his huge announcement.
All right. So y'all know that I've been podcasting for 9 years and I've been a member of the local wrestling community for 8 years. And throughout that near decade, I've done quite a lot. We've interviewed WWE international stars, diba? We've talked to so many people. We have built up this entire following. I even forgot to give Stan the rankings, the international rankings for today. We have done so much, and I felt like I have done so much, which is why I am formally announcing my retirement from podcasting.
Oh
no, I'm just kidding. Y'all puppets. Y'all puppets.
No. Shirted us.
Yeah, I did. By the way, 10-year anniversary in a couple of weeks. Yeah. The big announcement is that I am launching my very own podcast. It is my solo podcast. It's going to talk about my career as a wrestler, mostly wrestling, not podcasting. Maybe we'll talk about that. We're telling the story from the early years, from 2014. It's called Unmasked, the Chronicles of Romoran and Sandata. I would show the cover art here, but we didn't get to finish it in time for the slides. So, yun. So the reason why I made this solo podcast, I guess I'm the Michelle Williams, because Stan was the Beyonce and Chino was the Kelly Rowland. The reason why is because every time we do a show in MWF, people ask me, when are you going to come back? When are you going to, you know, lace up the boots again or the sneakers? If I had 1,000 pesos for every time somebody asked me that, I would be able to pay my bills monthly. But this podcast also aims to answer that. The very first episode actually will answer that question. It will tell you where I'm at right now. And then after that, we'll just get into the entire history. It's also kind of a history of the local wrestling scene because I did come up with it. Stan and I did come up along with it. So if you want to hear some stories, I'm not there but to, you know, deliberately shit on anyone. Because if you did some shit, I will tell it. But, you know, it's not there to intentionally besmirch anyone's name. It's not out there to, you know, make enemies and flame people. But, you know, it's going to be a fun journey through the past decade of local wrestling. I don't know what's going to happen when we do come to the current day. But, you know, we'll cross the bridge when we get there. It releases on Spotify and Apple Podcasts on June 14. That's when the first episode will be dropping. I hope to get a teaser up on the Spotify account when we do make that by next week. So you guys can check out what it's going to be all about. When it goes up, I will tell you so you guys can subscribe to it. And, you know, we'll have a good time. I hope that you guys enjoy learning about my career in a way that I never really got to do in my various interviews among different podcasts, including this one. So, yeah, stay tuned for it. Unmasked, the Chronicles of Romoran and Sandata.
Really fun stuff. Looking forward to hearing some of those stories, even though more often than not, I probably was present for some of those moments and some of those stories. But it's always nice to hear them from like a different perspective, especially when people who need to get called out will get called out. So no, that's I'm looking forward to.
There will be some call outs, but you know, it's incidental to the story. Like, you know, the classical Brian Leo stories are there. I didn't make the podcast to shit on him. It's just there because he did shit. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
I was there. Yeah. So yeah, should be fun. Congrats, Ro, and congrats to ano, sabi ba natin na may co-host ka?
Yeah, sure. I will be co-hosting the show with ABL Anselmo, formerly of Wrestling After Work. So if you listen to that show, you'll be familiar with him. He's going to serve as my Conrad Thompson, my smart Mark Sterling, my Matt Kuhn, you know, my John Alba. If you guys listen to the Conrad verse, you can talaga inspiration, actually, because Conrad specifically started going into the histories of his different hosts. I wanted to do the same and, you know, tell stories and explain more of my side, my mindset, what I was going through at these specific times in local wrestling history.
All right. So there, something for us to check out come June 14th when the first episode drops. Emil, any plugs on your end? My solo podcast ka na rin ba?
Wala. Yeah, just follow me on my socials, TikTok, and on Twitter, email _ Meister.
Time to roast Emil when he makes those bad NBA Finals opinions and picks. All right. As for me, I'll take the time to plug MWF Lights, Camera, Action happening this Sunday over at the QC Memorial Circle. Tickets are still up for sale. You can get them over at tickettome.net. Go check out the MWF Facebook page as well for tickets. We just dropped a new vignette for the stable that Jake De Leon and I are a part of. It's called Oro Plata Mata. Go check that one out as well. We worked really hard on it over the last week. So we hope that you enjoy watching the vignette and that you boo as loud as you can when we make our appearance this Sunday at Lights, Camera, Action.
That was a really cool vignette. I just saw that earlier before we started on the show. It was really cool. So go check it out, guys.
Siyempre, we will not settle for anything less. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, if you can't make the show live, siyempre, you can subscribe to Gank. As of yesterday, rather, you can finally find the latest Tajiri match versus Brother Jomar Liwanag from Republica on our Gank page. Just subscribe over at ManilaWrestling.com. It is $10 or around 600 gold coins on the Gank platform. You can pay for it via credit card, debit card, GCash as well. So maraming payment options. That's a lot easier talaga kasi, you know, not everyone can, you know, make the show in QC or wherever have you in Makati on a Sunday. So we got you. We have the digital version, the online version for you guys who want to catch up.
Pero si ano, babyface producer Jasper, sabi raw niya, manonood daw siya ng live kasi utang na loob niya yan sa atin. So, babyface producer Jasper, you know what to do this Sunday, 4 p.m. over at the QC Memorial Circle. Speaking of which, thank you to all the babyface producers, including Jasper, for all the work that they do behind the scenes. Thank you as well to everybody who keeps supporting the podcast, for sharing the streams and subscribing, viewing, listening, letting everyone know that this podcast exists. Next few podcasts on our radar, you've got the Carlo Cannon episode coming up in a few days and our next Picks of the Week episode. And of course, we'll see you again on Thursday at 7 p.m. right here in our watering hole on Facebook and on YouTube as we break down the following week in wrestling. We'll catch you again by then. Until then, follow us at Wrestling2XPod on TikTok and Twitter, The Wrestling Wrestling Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify. And individually, it is at Roiswar, at Chino Supersized, at EML _Meister, at Monday Night Rowan, and at _StanC. For Emil ASH and the birthday boy, Ro Moran, my name is Stan C, saying stay safe, stay healthy, and don't be a dick. Wrestling Wrestling Podcast, out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.